welcome everybody. Okay, the shir tonight is Le'ilui Nishmas, a cousin and an uncle of yours, right? Who were Kedoshim, who perished in Sobibor. And we don't know the exact names, right? That's also says something about Nebuch, whole generation.
The only one within the family who did not stay in Europe prior to the war, they were married, they were colonists, and nothing could happen in Holland.
And this is, okay. Neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, this is our last row. This is our last year for the season. We've been discussing the matters of Shavuos Eidos, Shvua, and Shavuos HaPikadon, Shavuos Eidos, and Agav, and many other issues that come up through this one little topic, but it's a very illuminating topic. Tonight we're going to finish off by discussing one aspect which we began to discuss last week, and that is the question of Eidos Umdana, otherwise known as Eidos Yediyah below Re'iyah. I sent in another a sheet of Marmkomos. Did anybody get that?
Two pages.
Yeah. Okay. There's an extra copy. I don't have it. What? No, this week. Anything additional from this week? No? Oh, okay. So that's okay. I sent it in a little later, and I think our Zev and Judy, who we should thank for all the good work that they do, I think they said they're at a dinner and coming later, as I recall.
They're on their way.
Right. So I was kind of given warning. I was given a sra that if I didn't get in by a certain time, I was, tempting the fate. So, I'm always, that kind of a gambling, type of personality. So I thought I would tempt the fates, and sometimes you learn a lesson. What? Misachi Pekur, yeah. I was rolling the dice, as I say. Anyways, it's appropriate to end on the topic of Eidos Umdana. It's a massive topic. We're not going to have time to go through all of it, obviously, but at least to touch upon it. And there are two main explicit sugyas and many, many related topics as well, related sugyas. But in terms of a direct discussion of what we call Eidos Yediyah below Re'iyah, which means that something took place, even though you didn't see it, the Gemara uses that expression only really a few times in Shas, and this is one of them, together with the sugya, the parallel sugya in Sanhedrin, which we mentioned last week. But the principle that underlies this discussion, namely what is Eidos really all about, is an issue which we have discussed pervasively the entire year. So it always ends up that the last topic of the year is, relevant to, the first topic and to everything else that we discussed, in between. So this year is no exception, to that rule. And we'll at least discuss some of the Makoros where, again, it's a massive topic. You can imagine that in practice, the question of Eidos Umdana or circumstantial, whatever you want to call it, circumstantial evidence, it's an expansion of what constitutes testimony or evidence is a critical issue in any legal system, obviously. Any legal system which requires facts and, substitutes testimony for facts and has a perspective on how that relationship, is supposed to be, the relationship between two witnesses and establishing facts, has to also contend with the question of how much do you need... how much do you need to see, right? And the relationship between seeing and knowing in both directions. Sometimes you can see something, and without definitive parshanut about what it is that you think you saw, right, seeing can be an illusion. And sometimes, you can know that something took place, you know, and to the core of your being, know it. And that doesn't mean, you know, it's still something short of seeing it. So depending on how we understand what testimony is, what role testimony plays, why it can, you know, be assigned such a high place, you know, in terms of value and reliance, that is going to, you know, dictate, you know, this question of circumstantial evidence. Obviously, in the, you know, as we've seen many times in parallel questions, in terms of the efficiency of a system, right, the more expansive and flexible you can be about who can testify, about, you know, what constitutes a criteria for testimony, right, the more efficient your system is going to be, because there's much more that is admissible, and the more that's admissible, the more, you know, you can actually, you know, you can actually follow through, and you can prosecute cases, and you can adjudicate, and so on and so forth. You have very, very strict rules of evidence, you know, draconian rules of evidence, so then your hands are going to be tied, in many cases. So who can be an aide? You know, what are the procedures of testimony? And also what constitutes testimony or knowledge or facts, etc., is going to be a very crucial question for any legal system to assess. So in the halacha, again, getting back to you know, what we've been, the topic that we've been discussing on and off all year, right? We began the year by discussing the chi of Haggadah, right? V'hu eid is an imperative, right? The Rambam counts it that way. So do many other Monei mitzvah. Started off discussing, is it a mitzvah? What kind of mitzvah is it? Right? So the obligation to do your civic duty and to come forward and to testify, which is also, according to some Rishonim, implicit in the Karban of Shuas Eidos, right? The Rajba's, again, the Bali Tosfos view in Bava Kamma, is that the Pasuk, you know, teaches you two different things at the same time, but they have nothing to do with each other. One is that if you know testimony, you're obligated to come to court and to testify. And the other is that, you know, you can impose an oath on Edim, and when you do that and they refuse to testify and they lie about it, that is a Korban Shavuos Eidos. But according to the Rajba in Bava Kamma, we spent, you know, we've recurringly referred to it, the Rajba says, no, these are two connected halachos. If it weren't for the fact that there was a chiyuv hagadas edus bebezdin, if you weren't obligated to come forward and to tell what you know, and you don't have the right to hide behind, you know, a pacifist orientation, or just, you know, lo yia ke, you know, kekorach v'chadasa, I don't like, I abhor machlokes. So it's not that I want to get involved per se, but I want to get involved in machlokas. And there is a notion, and we've discussed this, I'm just doing chazara, of lo being lo misaber beriv lo, right, of not getting involved in other people's conflicts. You know, it's a very, very fine line. Did you get my makoros or not? You didn't get. Did not. Yeah, no. I've already absolved you.
Didn't
I was just curious.
Can we have a conversation about
yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And I've already publicly chatasi avisi and kasha. I was just curious if you got it. Okay, so
listen
to the shuttle. Step down, please. So the point is that you this is an obligation to come forward. If you didn't have the obligation to come forward, you couldn't be. A shvuah cannot be imposed upon you either, right? And all this is connected, and this is connected with the idea that why is there such a civic obligation? Again, because the system requires Edim and Edim who take their obligation very seriously. The whole point is that the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you know, that you're Ma'ayim the Edim, you threaten them essentially, or you make them aware of the consequences of, you know, being less than, you know, fully honest. And then the Edom, you know, turn to you at some point, or they might turn to you and say, they're likely to turn to you and say, Ma lanu l'tzara hazos. Like, you know, what do we need this headache for? We'll just stay home. Leave us alone. Stop threatening us, right? You know, we don't need to do this, but they do because of the words v'hu eid, o ra, o yada. So there is that obligation. And we discussed whether or not that constitutes a basis for mazik, right? The view of the Tosas Rid and a few others, Ben Yerucham, not the view of 90% of the Rishonim who think that it's chayev midinei shamayim, there's a moral obligation, but pater midinei adam, right? It doesn't reach the level of mazik, it's too much of a grama. But the point I'm trying to make is that the whole perek and many dinim are undergirded by the chiyuv hagadas edus bebezdin, which itself, right, is about the special role, you know, that edim have, you know, in the system. We talked about yad ha'edim tiabo rishon alahamiso, right? Edim are not just third parties, right? They're really part. We talked about, they have to stand, do they have to sit? What about edus shebatla b'tzalsa batla kula, who they partner with? The kad is more than the sum of the two edim that create it. That's why Trey is kameya. We've talked again and again about how two edim are, again, treated as a fact, even though we know, you know, that there is a percentage of delusion, there's a percentage of falsehood. But until we know in a particular case that that's what we're dealing with, it is a fact on the ground. And Maimon Har Sinai really is based on Eidos. And therefore, Hazama and all these things, we've documented this again and again about the role that Eidos plays. So part of this whole story certainly has to be the dialectic between efficiency, meaning having a system based on Eidos that works very effectively, you know, in terms of adjudication and in terms of deterrent, you know, and so on. At the same time, having very rigorous high standards, you know, you can't say something is the equivalent of the truth, al-pidin, and you can't say, oh, we just assign or ascribe, you know, cheskas kashrus of ploni and almoni, right, unless you back it up by having, you know, very rigorous standards, you know, to begin with. So how much efficiency and how much you know, rigor. Very, very critical, you know, dialectic in any system, but especially in the system of halacha, where the edim really play an outsize, you know, kind of a role. So having said that, you know, we talk about this issue of yediyah b'lo ri'iyah, ri'iyah b'lo yediyah. We'll start with yediyah b'lo ri'iyah. I doubt if we'll have time for ri'iyah b'lo yediyah. But that's the question of circumstantial evidence, taking into account, in other words, the background information and the probabilities, you know, connecting the dots, if you will. So it's interesting to note, nobody else makes a note of this that I'm aware, but that the same words that are the basis for the chiyuv agada, v'hu eid ora yada, are the same words that teach us these rigorous standards, namely, what's the status of v'hu eid ora yada, yediya below re'iya, re'iya below yediya. Okay. So that's what we want to try and analyze. So what we saw last time, I'm just going to go very briefly back over, is that Rabbi Yossi Agli, that this comes into our Mishnah, our Gemara rather, because the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis had said that if you have a Shavuos Eidos case, right, which revolves around personal status and not around money per se, civil case per se, like two Eidim come and they say, testify, you know, about my status, that I'm not a Ben Grusha, that I'm not a Ben Chalutza, that I'm a Kohen, that I'm a Levi. So it's clear that does not, even if the Eidim lie about that, that doesn't constitute a basis for Korban Shavuos Eidos. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, how do you know that? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, v'hu eid ora yada, the Eidos is on lamed daor amad aleph, beidus ha-miskayemes b'riya b'lo yediyah b'diyah b'lo ri'iyah kasav medaber. But the Pasuk is talking about a situation based on v'hu eid ora yada, where it's the kind of Eidos which would be effective even with ri'iyah b'lo yediyah. Again, if we have a chance, we'll talk about it. And with yediyah below ri'iyah, where you know what happened even though you didn't see it. Meaning, dine mamonas. Oh. It says the Gemara, amalera papa labaya, and here's where the Gemara gets a little bit difficult. Because it seems like what the Gemara is saying so far is that you need dine mamonas, and dine mamonas is not being characterized as an area of halacha in which yediyah below ri'iyah would be effective, where circumstantial evidence, where knowing by reconstructing, by putting together, you know, the all of what you do know, coming to a conclusion that would constitute proper testimony. And so why does the Gemara say, it's a little bit strange, that maybe Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees with or disputes the view of Rav Acha? Why? What is Rav Acha? So the Gemara says, the Tanya Rav Acha Omer, Gamal ha'ocher ben ha'gamalim, benimsa gamal horeg betzido. If you have this camel, which is being very aggressive, right, and then you lose sight of it, right, so you don't actually see anything taking place, but then you come across, you know, a dead body, a dead animal, right, moments later, right? So, again, it doesn't take such forensic smoothing, I guess, you know, to figure out what, you know, what likely took place here. The nimsa gama harig betzido, biyodua shezeh harago, right, you know, that's example of circumstantial evidence. We're pretty confident, well, we know what happened here, right? That the aggressive gamal killed the other one, right? Di isle drabacha bedinin fashos nami mishkachas la kirab shiva menchetok. This is where the Gemara is a little bit challenging. The Gemara says, because if we held by Rabacha, we held the view of Rabacha, then why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say that there's a difference between mammon and nefashos? After all, in the case of Rabacha, there also should be a parallel in din and nefashos, which should be very compelling, and which should be, therefore, accepted testimony. What's strange about the Gemara, and this is, you know, what Tosis points out, is two things. Number one, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, you know, that says the opposite. But more than that is that, logically, if the whole point of the Gemara seems to be that there's a suggestion that we distinguish between mamonas and nefashos, so why is it a proof that we reject Rav Acha? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who makes this distinction, what's the reason to think that he applies it to nefashos? Why not say he accepts Rav Acha? Rav Acha's case is mazik, that's dine mamonas, and he doesn't extend it to nefashos, right?
Well, so, what does that have to do with personal status?
No. The Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis was trying to establish that Shvuah Sa'edus only applies in Choshen Mishpat cases. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, how do I know that? How do I know Dafka Choshen Mishpat? The area of halacha of Yediyah below Ri'iyah
below.
Mominous. That's all.
So the
implication is. What?
Well,
no, as opposed to anything else, which is, you know, where Yediyah below Ri'iyah is, he wants to identify, you know, the area of monetary issues. That's all. For as a prerequisite for Korban Shavuos Seudos. Agav, the Gemara is now saying, well, why wouldn't, if you hold the Karvacha, why wouldn't you hold this in Nefashos too? What's the case of Nefashos? As we said, Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Shetach, Erev ben Nechama, Im Lora Isi, see this one guy running after the other guy. We began reading this last week. Veratzti acharav, he said, I chased him. Umatzasi sayaf biyada v'dam betafte faharog mefarfer. He's got it all, you know. The guy's holding the smoking gun, or in this case, the bloody sword or knife, right? And the blood is dripping from it. And all sorts of stab wounds in the harug, right? So Marti Los Shimon Shatak recounts. He says, "I said to the guy, Rasha, wicked man, right? Mi harug olazeh, who killed this guy? There are only two of us here, right? There are only two possibilities. O ani, o ata." And he basically was saying, you know, it's not 50-50 because I know I didn't do it, right? Avo ma'ese. She'ein damcha masur biyadi, but there's nothing I can do about it. Shari Amar Torah, Pishnai made him Moshe She'edim Yuma Sameis. Ela Makom Yifarim Imcha. You know, the Rabbanu Sholem should pay you back.
Wasn't Shimon ben Shattach the fellow who hung up the witches or whatever? The commission of Sanhedrin, where they were talking about extra judicial.
Okay, I mean, we'll talk about extrajudicial things in a minute, that like kippah or things like that. Maybe, yeah. But, well, you'll see. I mean, in a way, just even in the next line, I mean, right? Omru lo zozo mishal machanosh chonokosh fames, right? So, extrajudicious things are other things in Sanhedrin. But, yeah. A few tema, so the Gemara says, a few tema is sleid rabacha. Bishlam yediya belo riyah meshkachas al riyah belo yediya hechem meshkachas miloi boy meida im ove kochavim harag or yisrael harag im anam treifa harag or shilem or shalem harag shmamidok so Rabbi Yosei Glili mashbiyede kas patra. We'll get to the idea of the riyah belo yediya in a minute. Okay, so basically the Gemara leaves it in this way. The Gemara seems to say if you hold like Ravacha in the edus umdana, strong probability, right, or circumstantial evidence works in Dini Maminis, that it would have worked in the case of Shimon Shattach. The truth is, Shimon Shattach case, you know, you have to, were there two edim, right? There are a lot of issues. But the Rishonim take the Shimon Shattach case as a statement that even if you had two witnesses, right, what they saw would be insufficient because they didn't really. It was idea bloria, right? It wasn't sufficient for, you know, for a capital crime. Either way, Valitosis raised the bigger question, the one that I mentioned before, not the bigger the biggest question, which is what even impelled the Gemara to think that you can't distinguish between Mamonis and Foshos, but the question of the opposite sugya in Sanhedrin. And that sugya in Sanhedrin is actually connected to, again, the question of Iyum Dine Nefashos, Tosis points out. Mash Mahacha, this is the Islay Drabacha, Bidine Nefashos Tarim Mishkachasla. So Tosis says, Mash Mahacha Drabacha, Islay Umda Bidine Umdana Bidine Nefashos. It seems from here that Drabacha, who holds that in the area of Mazik, right, circumstantial evidence is effective, will also hold that circumstantial evidence can prevail in a capital case, in Dina Nefashos. Oh. Says Tosas, V'tema, the Perek Echad Dina Maminis, Gabi Ketzad Ma'aymim al Dina Nefashos, one of the Iyumim that they record, right, is Shema Tomru Me'omed Re'isem. Right, one of the things they say is, you know, maybe they say to the Edim, you know, be very careful about your testimony. Make sure you really saw what you claim you saw. And also be very careful that you're not just, you know, projecting, you know, but that you really saw it. In other words, that it isn't Yediyah, but that it was really Re'iyah. There wasn't Omid al-Adas. It's Bidiyak Megamara. The Gemara says, Ha, B'dinei Maminis, Samrinan. It sounds like that's a Hasra, that's an Iyum for Dine Nefashos. But if it was a monetary case, it would be fine. Says the Gemara, Kiman, who's that Mandalmar? The Gemara says, Karbacha, Mashmadlo Ayri Rabacha Bedina Nefashos. So there the Gemara is saying the opposite. The Gemara is saying, Rabacha says what he says, this is a stira. On the one hand, Shim ben Shetach and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin earlier even is telling us as an Iyum that you need Edus Re'iyah. You have to really actually see what happened. On the other hand, Rabacha says that a mazik, circumstantial evidence is enough. The Gemara says, yeah, because that's the difference between Maminis and Nefashos. Okay. So Tosis here says, Yeshlomar devade mi kara, zesol kataitach lo metukin karabanan, al korchach mukalot karabacha. The Gemara thinks that Rabacha is the mandamar, you know, who holds this way, who holds that umdina works. At least it works in Maminis, right? Even though it doesn't work in the Foshos, maybe other people think it doesn't even work in Maminis. The Islam the Meimar, the Lo'ayre, the Bedine, Maminis, Dafka, the Lo'bedine, the Foshos, Kihechid, the Tikum, Masnisan, Kevase. If we hold like Ravacha, What do you do with the Mishnah Sanhedrin that says, Shema me'omid adas re'isem? Meaning it's an ineffective edus. It's not a legal edus. The answer is you distinguish between Rabbanus and Nefashos. Aval, fi amaskana, demukala karabanon. In the Gemara there in Sanhedrin, they have another suggestion. It isn't Rabacha, it's somebody else. Fine. So, Matzila Meimar, Rabacha, Islay Umdana, Afilu Bedina Nefashos. Then they're freeing up, essentially, Rabacha, because the Mishnah in Sanhedrin doesn't have to be according to Rabacha. Maybe Rabacha, who said that circumstantial evidence works in Dini Mamanus, maybe also works in Dini Nefashos as well. Right? Aval, Otema, and then he goes on and asks other questions. Okay. Basically, what comes out so far is that in our Gemara, regarding Shmuel's Eidos, the Gemara seems to be saying that some areas of halacha, right, work on the basis of Yediyah v'lo Ra'iyah, and others do not. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara seems to be, in the context of interpreting the Mishnah about Iyum, the Gemara seems to be suggesting very explicitly that Eidos Umdana, strong Umdana, like that of Ravacha, will work in Mamanus, it will not work in Nefashos. On the other hand, our Gemara seems to be saying, notwithstanding what it said about Shuas Eidos, that if you hold a Ravacha, right, then not only in Dini Mamanus, but in Dini Nefashos as well, in the Shimon Ben Shetach type case, namely where you have a very, very compelling circumstantial, you know, group of circumstantial evidence, right, that you will convict, even in Dine Nefashos. So basically what comes out, if you in all the Gemaras, is a range. There are those who think, seemingly, that Umdana does not work in Dine Mamanus either. Or if it does, it only works if it's an unbelievably compelling Umdana. But a regular Umdana doesn't work in Dine Mamanus. Then you have the other way, and that's in our Sugya, that whoever believes it works in Mamanus, you know, may very much believe that it works in Nefashos as well. And then the simple beginning of our sugya, the pashas of the sugya in Sanhedrin, and that is the distinction between Mamanus and Nefashos. Yeah.
Obviously, this is somehow connected with Rov, and the probability of this happening, like with the Gamal, and we're saying, Lachim Mamanach Rov.
Right, so that's a good question. It's a tricky question a little bit. So it's the Gemara does say Ein Hocha Mamanach Harov in Bava Basra and Bava Kama. The question is twofold: is that the default or is that the exception? Because we're all familiar with the phrase, so we all assume that it's the default. It's the principle. However, it really is a debate, and we've seen this a couple of years ago when we learned Sanhedrin. We talked about this very explicitly. In Dine Mamanus, right, we go by, you know, two out of three Dayanim, right? So that's one of the questions that Tosis asks in Sanhedrin, and Gimel and Beis, and above a Kama, Daf Chav Zayin, they say, well, what happened to the Din of Ein Hocha Mamanach Harov? So that in answering that question, Tosis in the two places gives two different answers. One answer that they give is that in Achanami, really, Hocham B'Mamanach HaRov, unless it's a Rov Garua. If it's a particularly, you know, weak, you know, Rov, you know, I don't know what that means, weak, is not for now. That's the discussion in the Achronim, exactly what does weak mean. Meaning, is it in the numbers? Is it, you know, whether it's like a natural Rov as opposed to a conventional, you know, based on convention of a particular society? You know, is it a Rov Omid Lehishtanos? You know, those kind of things. I don't want to get into that right now. But the point is that one view is that the din of Ein Hocha Mamanach HaRov in general, right, is a misnomer. That isn't really the halacha. Really, Hocha Mamanach HaRov, unless it's a Rov Garua. That's one. The other view, of course, is that really Ein Hocha Mamanach HaRov, and that's the rule. The shiny Sanhedrin is a different kind of a Rov. That's where Reb Chaim came up with this famous perspective, which we talked about extensively then, of Rubo, there's a difference between Hochen Acharov or Acharab Mahatos and Rubo Kakula. Because of Beis Din, two out of three Dayanim, it's not probability. Although again, it starts with probability. The two out of three are probably right, you know, but it doesn't end with that. Because they're probably right, therefore the three as a unit right? Based on, you know, the majority consensus that emerges, the whole unit, you know, the Beis Din says 100% chayev or 100% zakai. So that's part of that whole question on top. But you're right, you're absolutely right. But it raises a very interesting question here too, because we'll take the first point, for example. There are different roves. There are different types of roves. So one, if you ask the question, you know, do we allow edus umdana? It is based on an umdana. Yes or no? Right, here we're talking about yes or no. No, not even a momentous. Yes, even in fashas, or mechalik between them. So of course, we also have to relate to the question of the quality of the particular umdana. Right? And a way to say that, or the rove, whatever you want to call it. Right? So if we're talking about a 60%, I'm just making up the number, 70%, you know, there's plenty of holes. Let's say a case where there's a miut, you know, hamatsu. Right? That's one, you know, scenario. And then there's another scenario where there's a miut shein hamatsu. Or to use, you know, the way the Rav used to explain it, when you have a miut hamatsu, right, so, you know, even when you say ozinu basa rov, you know, it's a hachra of some sort. Meaning you're acknowledging the safek, and you're acknowledging the miut, and you're saying, but the Torah said we have a right to, you know, to move forward on the basis of the rov. In a case where it's a miut shein hamatsui, let's say, so maybe the way to say it is that there's no real leis safek. As we know the percentages, right, but we're allowed to ignore them and discount them unless we actually, you know, come face to face, you know, with them. In other words, we can, al-pidin, dismiss them, so it's more of a, you know, there's such a strong rove, it's not really a safek. So in dealing with the question of edus umdana, that's the edim didn't see, you know, the action. They saw everything else. You know, they have yediyah. What do you mean they have yediyah? They have 70% yediyah, or they have, you know, 90% yediyah, or they have 100% yediyah, or they have 99% yediyah. Like, what are we talking about? We'll talk more about this. So, for example, the Rambam, when he talks in Hilchos Nizkei Mammon, when he talks about Gomel Ha'ocher ben Agmala in the Din of Ravacha, speaks of it, and other Rishonim do as well, as being a particularly strong umdana. So, for example, just to answer your question, you know, even if we were to say, Eino Chum B'mamon Achar Rov, so of course you can't, but maybe, you know, a very, very strong rove is a different matter. For example, the Bali Tosas here talk about, you know, here, if you look at Tosas Di'i Slei Drabacha, towards the bottom, Vivkena Fido Le Slei Drabacha, Mishkachas umdana b'dina nefashas l'kula ama kamo she'oso lo neshich al rosho v'nokav krum shel moach. Afdira bonum b'moda b'hai umdana k'nebucha perik kol nishboim k'gon she'oso lo neshich al gabo u'bein atzi layado. Like, there's a person, something happens to somebody, you know, and there's no other explanation for it. Right? That might be different than... Well, there's a very distant possibility, you know, that some sort of a, you know, massive coincidence took place, or somebody is a, you don't know how, you don't, let's say you can't tell whether there's a treif or not, right? You did the autopsy, but maybe the bullet, you know, destroyed the evidence, you know, that or the knife wound destroyed the evidence that he was a treif already. But what are the odds of that? You know what I'm saying? So there are different levels, we'll discuss more of this in a minute, of umdana, in either direction. If we're talking about like a very big miut hamatsui in an edus umdana, right, then very difficult, you know, to say that that's sufficient. If we're talking about, you know, what Tosa's talking about at the end here, based on the Gemara and Shavuos later on, on the involvement base, also lo neshichal gabo ubein atzila yadav, where there's literally no other explanation, or like I said before, the autopsy, you know, also says that he was healthy and he was killed by this, but there is always the possibility, you know, the outside chance, you know, that you know, the one in a million, you know, that's not typically something that we... So what we need to do a little bit is to figure out, you know, number one, when Edusum Dina is effective and not legally, and two, what types of Edusum Dina we're talking about. Are we talking about just probability? Are we talking about next to certainty? Right? Or are we talking about, you know, clearly we know this is what happened, even though it's possible. There are always possibilities. You know, outside chance, you know, some crazy coincidence or scenario. That's still different than if we didn't see it, but it's physically impossible for any other explanation.
Yeah, whatever level of globe that you're talking about, why would it be less acceptable in Momnus and in the Vashos that we say, Ein Hochim B'Momon Acharov?
Right, so again, I don't want to get into that now, but if you look again at the Tosis in Sanhedrin, Dav Gimel, and tells them Bava Kama, Dav Chav Zayin, so, you know, they discuss that. Right. In other words, in the end of the day, you know, Motzei Bechor V'Alav Araya is a factor in Dine Mamonos. But so the Chomer, the Chumrah of Dine Nefashos, so putting somebody to death, you know, when they're not supposed to, is obviously a bigger problem. Right. Okay. So anyway, to highlight some of this, just very quickly, I don't want to keep it too long tonight. So, we'll just look at the Rambam. We started looking at the Rambam last time. The Rambam says that the Rambam is one who makes a very clear distinction between Mamonos and Nefashos. And as we'll see in a moment, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos disagrees. Ramban thinks that Umdana, right, or Yediyah below Re'iyah doesn't work not in Mamonos and not in Nefashos, typically. Certainly there's no difference between. So the Rambam here says, "Ein bezdin onshin ba'omid adas." This is from last week, Perek Chaf Halacha Aleph. "Ein bezdin onshin ba'omid adas ela pi edim beraya berura." This, the language itself, is this very powerful language, right? Bezdin cannot impose an onesh ba'omid adas, right, on the basis of their evaluation, estimation, you know, basically circumstantial evidence. Only edus beraya berura. What does that mean, raya berura? Afila ra'u edim rode facha chaveiro. This, of course, is Shem ben Shetach, right? But here now it's not Shem ben Shetach anymore, it's edim, right? Even if edim encountered someone running after another fellow, the hisrabo, that wasn't in the Shem ben Shetach case either. Right, in advance he warned him. He said, don't, you know, we're after you and... You know, we're watching you and don't do anything, right? They had Limoy Naam, and then they lost sight of him. Oshanichan Suachrov Lechurba. Or, you know, they followed him into an isolated place where there's no one else. Vinichan Suachrov Umitzo Harug Umafarfair. There are no other people, right? Vatsayef Minatef Dam Biyadahoreg. The blood is dripping from the sword, which is in the hands of the we're calling him already the Horeg. We're kind of, you know, agreeing that that's what happened here. Ho velo ra'uhu be'esh shehi kahu. You're not saying there's an outside chance he's not a murderer. We're calling him the Horeg already, right? Since they didn't actually see the event itself, ein bezdin horgim be'edazu. They cannot put him to death on the basis of the Seidos. Ve'alzeh kiyotzu banemar benoki v'tzadik al taro. As I mentioned last time, this is based on the Medrash Halacha, not the Gemara, and it's a pasuk which applies to the higher standards of Nefashos versus Mamonos. So that is very critical. That's Lashitasa. That's exactly what the Rambam is trying to say. But what's more fascinating, even, is the Vechein, which, as the Ramban points out, even without the Ramban, we could have pointed it out, and that is the connection to a whole different Halacha. And that is v'chein ime'idu alav shnayim shavu avodah zarah. If two people came and testified that this person was an idol worshipper, zero shavu asachama v'hisrabo, zero o shavu asalavana v'hisrabo. Right? One saw him, you know, bowing to the sun, the other to the moon. Right? Ein mitzdarfin shenemar v'naki v'tzadik al taharog. Hovi Esham Tzad Lenakoso, Vilioso Tzadik, Al Tahargu. It's a strange explanation based on the Medrash, that, again, not from the Tzadik Al Tahargu, but it implies that because there's some outside possibility, right, that maybe he's innocent. So we'll get back to that. But Pashtos, you wouldn't really think that it's likely that he's innocent. It's more that there's a formal din that he, you know, to in order to charge him, in order to convict him, right, that you need Edim who, you know, two Edim who saw the full event. Now, what's fascinating about this Rambam, of course, in the Vechein, is that we're dealing with two totally different issues, right? One is the standard of, you know, Yediyah Re'iyah versus Yediyah alone, right? Did he see the actual event, or is it just circumstantial? Even if it's very powerful circumstantial. That's one. And the other is the Din of Edus Miuchedes. Right? As we know, there's an Edus Miuchedes in Haggadah, there's an Edus Miuchedes in Re'iyah. There are actually two types of Edus Miuchedes in Re'iyah. One, Echad Ra Michalon Zev, Echad Ra Michalon Acher. The other is what we call Yediyah, I'm sorry, Halva Achar Halvar, B'Yeshua Ben Korcha. Let's say Dini Mamnes, right? One aide testifies that Reuven lent money to Shimon in the morning, and another aide testifies that he witnessed Reuven lending money to Shimon a week later in the afternoon. So altogether, there are two aidim who say that Reuven owes Shimon, that Reuven lent money to Shimon, that Shimon owes money to Reuven. But there's only one aid on each transaction. So the Rambam is basically saying that in Mamanis, that works. There's no Vinaki Vitzadik Al Tarog. And in Nefashos, that does not work. What does that have to do with Edus Umdana? You could say it's better, you could say it's worse, but it's different. There's no problem of Yediyah, there's a problem of Edus Miuchedes. Either way, what's fascinating is that the Ramban disagrees. But with also the way he disagrees is interesting. Mitzvah Reish Tzadis, the Rambam. The Rambam codifies this in Minyan Mitzvahs, and he has a very long piece. Now the Rambam, you know, only writes long essays or long entries in Minyan Mitzvahs, you know, when he's a little bit, I wouldn't say defensive, but when there's something to write, you know, when there's an issue, right? Typically, the Rambam does not expend so much space on a mitzvah, right? But mitzvah reish tzadi, obviously he's troubled, right? Or he's not troubled, he has a lot to say. He says, Hiranu shalolachto chagadarim ba'omen adasa chazak, not to convict on the basis of even a strong Omid Adas. Filohoya Korov El Emes, repeats, even if it's not Emes, but Korov El Emes, I mean very compelling, right? Very close to the truth. Obviously he's not saying if there's no other possibility. I mean, he did lose sight of the guy, right? You know, maybe in that second, you know, the other one jumped into his sword, you know, and he committed suicide, you know? Kamoshaya Adam Yirad Feyu, so no. Notice how the Rambam added, in Mishnah, the Rambam added Hasra, right? Here he adds that he's so no. Right? I mean, they have a past a history together, let's say. Lahargo, he's a so no Lahargo. He's always threatening to kill him, right? Ulihinatzel Mimenu, Yikonis Babai Sachod. V'kanes arode fahu achrav, v'nichas anachnu achareihem, v'nimsa nirdaf harug, the guy is killed, v'umbefarfer, and he's bleeding, right, there are holes in his body. V'sono shahirodfo, again, why does he repeat that? Right, v'sono shahirodfo. We know he is, I already mentioned that he was sono, and I already mentioned that he was rodfo, right? This is, you know, dramatic license, for sure. But also to build up the case, like, this is really, really, really compelling, right? Meaning he had, what do they say? You know, he had motive, opportunity, whatever it is. Right? So, v'sono shayir rodfa omadala v'asakin v'yado u'shneya menat v'imdam hineza harodef lo yahargu asanhedrin al tzad chituch hageder achar she'en sham edim edim shero hahariga. Since there are actually no edim who visually caught all of this happening, doesn't work. U'ba azar b'toras ha'emes Meharog Zev, who Amar Yisala, Vinaki Vitzadik Al Tarog, Kilat Stik Rasha. Who be Mechilta Amru, Rauhu, Rode Facha Kaver Lahargo, the history of Amrlo Yisraelu, Ben Brisu, Imharakta Soti Hareg, Velim Wainayam with Sauhu, Harug of a Farfaith, Vasayef Minatev Dam, Miara Horeg, Shemene Hechayef, Tamler Vinaki Vitzadik Al Tarog, different Pasa. Fine. I'll say, fine. Velo Tarchig Zev, Velo tipale bize hadin. Ram says, don't don't reject this, and don't also be stunned by it. Don't be surprised by it. Ki advarim haefsharim mehem krovei haefsharut meod umehem rechokei haefsharut umehem emtzayim ben zeh lazeh. Very fascinating, Rambam. Ram says there are always a range in probability. Something that's very compelling, possible, and in between. Ula efshar, rochav gadol ma'od. Very philosophical, legal Ramba, right? The field of possibility, right, is a very wide one. Ve'ilu etira Torah lachdok din nefashos be'efshar karav ma'od. If the Torah had allowed, very compelling to be a basis for testimony. She'efshar she'ez karov min ha'mechuyev ha'metzivas, kagon zeh, she'im shalnu, like the example that we gave, which is practically, right, practically mechuyev ha'metzivas, practically, 100%, meaning impossible otherwise. Ha'yinu chotchim ha'geder, b'meshu rachok mizeh ma'at, u'meshu yoseh rachok gamkein, Ad sheikh to kohagadarim via misu hanashim pa'amim b'ma'at omeid lefidim yiradayin amakshavto. And so once you start with this, right, you move a little bit further and further and further and further, and at some point, the umdana really doesn't justify, this kind of a capital punishment. V'lachein soga yisalas ha'pesach hazeh v'amar shelo yichatech Geder ha'onesh, ela kashiyu ha'idim be'idim, shehem yadu bevadai, sheza asa maisa, ha'hu be'emes, b'lo safek, b'lo dimyon klal, when nothing is left to the imagination, and they can say 100% vadai. Notice he doesn't say re'iya. V'kasher lo nachto ha'gedorim, b'dimyon ha'chazak ma'od, hine tachlis ma sheyesh, ha'niftar ha'chote, v'kasher ha'tachnu ha'gedorim b'dimyon ha'ba'omeid, pa'amim na'arug naki yom'echad. Right, he's saying, it's much more efficient to work with circumstantial evidence, but there's always that distant possibility of a single wrong conviction. Ulizchus, or lizakos rather, elef chotim yoser tovenichsaf meharog zakai echad yom echad. Very powerful statement. You definitely sacrifice efficiency, obviously. It reminds us of the whole sugya in Makos about the Bezin Chablonis, right? V'chei kashidu shnei edim alav, b'shtei averos, b'kol echos mehem din misa, b'kol echad m'shneim levado ro'a oso over ha'achas, v'lo ro'a oso over ha'acheres. The same, says the Rambam, is true. This is the Edus Miuchedus case, where two people, each witnessed a single avera, right? If they had seen both, there would have been proper edus, but each one saw one, although each avera is mechayv misa. Hinei lo yahareg, kagon shi'ayin alav edachad shu'asa malacha v'shabes, v'histrabo, hasheni yayin alav shu'avad avadazara, v'histrabo. Right, one says, "Oh, I saw him being Michal Shabbos." The other one said, "I saw him being over to Vodazara." Zet lo yisakel. Amru Haya echad meido oved lechama, echad oved lelevana. This is even, less mechudash, more mechudash. Shomani yitztarfu tamud lamar v'naki v'tzadik altar. Okay. So the Rambam here discusses philosophy of law, right? Efficiency versus, a system that, sacrifices in order to preserve sanctity of life. Right? He describes kind of the challenge of circumstantial evidence and where you draw the line. You could get a very strong impression from this Rambam that his view on Eidus Umdina is very pragmatic. In other words, in principle, we would accept Eidus Umdina in Dina Nefashos. The only thing is that, it can end in disaster, and we're not willing to sacrifice, to the extent of our powers, even one innocent, for the sake of a more efficient system, or a system which in 95% of the cases, or 99, or 99.9, I don't know what it is, is going to be effective. I don't think that is a totally accurate read of the Rambam, as I'll explain in a few minutes, particularly because of his integration of these two halachos, of Eidus Miuchedes and Eidus Umdin. I'll explain what I mean in just a few minutes. Either way, this is the Rambam's view. It sounds like the Rambam thinks that if you have 100%, right, then you will operate with Eidus Umdina, because then there is no margin for error whatsoever. Now, even in the Shimon Shetach case, there is some margin for error, right? It's just extremely, extremely rare. It would require a lot of contortion. Okay, so we'll get back to that. The Ramban disagrees, number one. The Ramban says, Kosav Arav, Amitzvah Masayim, V'tishim Shenimnanim Elakayim Gevulei Ha'onesh Ba'amtalo'os V'chazakos. We're not allowed to employ Umdana. U'b'mechilta Amru, U'b'mechilta says, Ra'u Rodef Hakha Chaver L'Hagavata V'histerba V'amru Yisrael U'ben Brisu Paraktos O'tarong V'lima Neimu M'tza'u Harug U'mefarfer Saif Minatev Dam B'yad Ha'horeg Shemini Echayv Tamadon V'naki V'tzadik Al'tarog. The Kasav, this is all just a quote of the Rambam. Kemokein kesheidu shne edim bebeisav erisul yarog, etc. Right, Amar he'echad mido oved l'chama, echad mido oved l'levana, shemem ani yitztar v'tamlo v'naki v'tzadik al taro. Okay. Says the Ramban, v'anachon bazeh she'imanu shtei menios. Right, Kedarko, the Ramban is always on target. Ramban says, listen, if the Rambam is right, then he should have really counted two separate lavin. Sheheim and Yanim Shonim, Eilen Dimyon, Zeim Ze, Klal. Big words, right? He says, these two dinim, namely, excluding circumstantial evidence in Dinei Nefashos, and secondly, excluding Eidus Miuchedes in Dinei Nefashos, in capital cases, are two different dinim. Right, Avo Rabbi Chachamim vaiduyos she'enon shabos minaki shezenikr naki lo niskayim alav edus ba'aveira v'hi ashnu yatzchilu b'mechilta v'chazav Rabbi amtalos meitzadik shezet tzadik medin afapi she'enon naki minachet. And the Ramban even says that says v'naki v'tzadik altaro. One of them is naki in one of these cases, first case, I guess. And the second case is tzaddik. Two dinim, two mitzvos. Why does the Rambam integrate these two as one? What do they have to do with each other? That's a good question. Then he says, Vanite ma'od, moreover, she'en akos of nidrash came b'talmud. The Gemara in Sanhedrin does not quote v'naki v'tzaddik al tarog in this context, even though the Sifra does. Aval, Shanina Berevi b'Sanhedrin, Dini Mamanis, Maksirin bein l'schus, bein l'chova, bein l'fashos, Maksirin l'schus, bein Maksirin l'chova, Amru Tanur Abana, Minayin li'otzim b'bezint chayiv, Amru Echad Yeshe Lamadal of schus, Minayin she Maksir, Sonu Tamilor, v'naki v'tzadik al, the pasuk of v'naki v'tzadik al tarog is used in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, to teach you that there are differences between Mamanis and l'fashos. For example, do you need a one-man majority, a two-man majority? You know, at what point do we cut off, you know, other people being melamed chova, even though he never cut off melamed zchus, right? That's the difference between mamonis and nefashos. There are numerous differences between mamonis and nefashos, and many of them flow from v'naki v'tzadik al tarok, the extra high standard for dina nefashos. But we do not find anywhere that edusum dina, and especially, I'm sorry, and edusum dina, or edus miuchedes are examples of this. Uminayin the otzumi bezin zakai v'omer echad, yeshi lamad of chol benayim shem maksirin, tam lebe noki v'tzadik al tarog, ein maksirin lechova, afilu skimu kulam, shato, elim kein do bedover shad sedukin modim bo, v'amedr shetosu babale gemara hu ikar, bo hay roi litfos, v'gam shom b'mechilta, hi shnuyem. So question number one is, how can the Rambam didn't count two lavin? Should have counted two instead of one. After all, they're two different dinim. Maybe one is v'naki, the other is v'tzadik. Interesting. Meaning, two different dinim, two different sources, maybe even two different concepts, naki and tzadik.
Which is which?
We'll see. Number two question is, this whole drasha doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara uses this drasha for other things. And the Rambam will say, obviously, about the first group of questions, that notwithstanding, you know, it seems to be a difference between the two, there's an overlap, you know, and a common denominator. We'll get that in a second. As far as the second question, the Rambam will say, also, the Rambam will say, but the Bavli uses this pasuk to differentiate between the standards of Mamonis and Nefashos. There are numerous other examples of that too, and these two are examples which fit into that pattern. Even if the Gemara didn't explicitly apply this pasuk, but it's part of the pattern of differences between Mamonis and Nefashos. Anyway, the Ramban goes on, the third point of the Ramban. Ve'omer ani, shebetchila sabraisa shnui b'mechilta hayechad b'imi'ido sheover l'chama, ve'echad mi'ido shehu over l'levono, says these are not even real drashos, they're asmachtas. He says if there's a stira between the two stories, right, one aide says, oh, this happened, and he's bowing down to the moon, the other one said he's bowing down to the Levana, even in Dini Mamanis, in the same parallel case, it wouldn't work. What do you mean, even Akiv Tzadik Al Taro? That's very strange what the Ramban says here.
Are there time differences?
Oh, exactly. So it sounds like the Ramban understands the case of the Rambam and the case of the Medrash Halacha to be a case where they're talking about the same time and they're contradicting each other. So he's saying, this doesn't make any sense, right? But Pashtos, that's not what's really happening. What's really happening is you have one guy, just, and it's clear in the Rambam even more, because Ram gives example of Shabbos and of Avodah Zarah, right? What the Rambam's really saying is, even if there are two people who are made that this person is Chayiv Misa, right? Even though the reason for his, if as long as the reason for his Chayiv Misa is two different Mechayivim, two different Averos, that's Ma'akiv. That's called Eidus Miuchedes B'dini Nefashos. But in Dini Mamonis, that'll work. There's no Akasha. Not contradicting each other, just that you might think, and you do think, in Dina Nefashos, you have an Eid Echad for this, and you have an Eid Echad for that. They're not Mitzdari, but they're not Makrish. Shafilu, then the Ramban himself, Shafilu nomar she'idush ha'zavach nekiter, lahem shalo bifneyem, edus makrish ha'zu ha'zu b'bdikos k'gon zu p'zulahi. Davali mana shokar, umana lavan, b'hakhasha. Gemar in Sanhedrin talks about, you know, if you do have contradictory stories about what happened at the same time. He says, oh, he stole, I saw him steal the guy's black wallet. The other guy said, I also saw him steal, but it wasn't a black wallet, it was a gray wallet or a white wallet. It's called Hakosha. There's Drishos, Hakiros, and Bedikos. Okay? So this is called Hakosha Bedikos. Okay. Vim Nomar B'Sheina Makishin. Ah. Because he, you know, it's not fair. I mean, come on, that's not what the Rambam meant, you know. So he says, if you want to say that we're not talking about Akasha, so then Chatzi Edosi. What do you mean Chatzi? I mean, why would there be a Havamina? That's what the Rambam is saying. Right? They're not talking about the same event. There are two Edom on the same event. They're just arguing. Ramban's thinking like this. If there are two Edom, that he was over to Varazara, just that, you know, one thought he was bowing down to the moon. One man's, you know, thinks, you know, that, you know, the moon looks like the sun. The sun looks like the moon, you know. So, I don't know, maybe it was, you know, Ben Ashmasha. So, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. So, the Ramban's thinking, oh, there are two Edom on the same Maisa, but there's Akasha. Right? Or, which is really the Pshat in the Rambam, right? There are two different Maisim. There's no Akasha. And it's a question of Tziruv. The Ramban says, what Tziruv? Chatzi Edusi. I mean, the Ramban is completely dismissing the possibility that it makes any kind of sense, I'll explain what I mean in a minute, right, to combine these two Eidachods, because they are two Eidachods on the Maisa Vera, on the Pu'ula that they're talking about. Can you combine them in any way in terms of the Ramban says, nah, for sure not. Therefore, the best bet you have that any of this makes sense is they're talking about the same event in Akasha, right? But that shouldn't work even in Mamanus. Then the Ramban goes a fourth point. Is that, by the way, umdana miyadiyah below re'iya is something which is excluded not only in nefashos, in his opinion, but in mamanus as well. The kaimelang prabanan, the pligid rabacha, who disagree with rabacha, the gomel ocher kinemizbar peregdalid shal the Sanhedrin. But if you look at the Rambam, because this came on the Rambam paskas like rabacha. Although he has a strong language saying it's practically badai. Ramban says we don't paskin like Ravacha. In Mamanus, umdana doesn't work, or that kind of umdana doesn't work either. The pasuk of Anaki Vitzadik only makes sense if it's a unique ptur of nefashos where in parallel the mamon is effective. He says, listen, in the end of the day, even according to the Rambam himself, it should have been two lav and not one. Okay. So the Ramban is taking a very, very interesting and clear view, right? Number one, the kesher between umdana and miyuchedes is being attacked. Number two, the distinction between Mamanus and Nefashos is being attacked. He's completely dismissing, you know, any kind of opening for the Ram. Okay. So what should we say for the Ram? I talked in general terms. So the answer seems to be that the Rambam's view is as follows. This is how the Rav understood it as well. Now, what's the combination between Edus Miuchedes and Edus Umdana? Right, I mean, the Ramban is correct that on the surface, you know, before you reflect upon it, you know, in light of what the Rambam did here, I mean, we should, in this case, give credit to the Ramban, one should have thought, would have thought, that Edus Miuchedes and Edus Umdana are two different topics. Right, they might share something in common. In the end of the day, it doesn't trouble me that in both cases you might say that a Mamanus is effective and the Fashos not. But that doesn't mean that they aren't two different topics, right? Just like, you know, the rove of two as opposed to the rove of one, you know, is a distinction between Mamanus and Nefashos. No one's going to think that that's identical to the exclusion of Edus Umdana or the need for Hasra. I mean, they're common denominators, but they're two different requirements or two different Kisronos. And so, too, the idea that you have to, you know, that the Edus has to be a single, you know, integrated kat, let's say. And the idea that there has to be not only, you know, umdana, omid adas, or omin adas that leads you to a kind of yediya, but also either yediya vadois or re'iya, right? That's a separate point, a separate requirement. But apparently, according to the Rambam, that's not true. So the upon further reflection is as follows. What the Rambam is saying, this is how the Rambam understood it as well. What the Rambam is weighing is the following, that there's a big difference between Dini Mamonis and Dini Nefashos. And that difference expresses itself in some of these dinim in as two sides of the same coin. And that is that in Dini Nefashos, the Chiyuv revolves around the Chovas HaGavra. And in Dini Nefashos, it revolves around the Ma'is HaAveira. Meaning, in Dine Mamonis, if I have two Edim, right, one of who says, I witnessed, in August, that, Reuven lent $100 to Shimon, and the other guy says, I saw the same thing in October, right, there are two Edim who can be made that there's a Chiyuv. As long as the same amount, or the minimum of the two amounts. If one said, I saw a $200 loan, and the other one says, I saw a $100 loan, and two different times, one aid for each. So of course, you have one aid on $100, and you have two aid on $200. Not the same loan, but the Chiyuv HaGavra. The balance of accounts, or the balance of obligation between these two people. Right? In the end of the day, is it necessary in Dini Mamonis, right, to be made on every individual Mechayev? Maybe it's enough, right, to combine the Chiyuv, because of our money. So there are two people who are testifying that Reuven owes Shimon $200, even though there aren't two people testifying about the trigger actions. Now, the Ramban thinks that that's crazy. That's not.
Why $200?
I'm sorry?
Why $200? They're both on
$100. As on $100. Two people on $100.
Yeah. Not
$200. Either because they both saw $100.
Right.
Even if one saw $200, one saw $100. The common denominator, the lower common denominator.
$200.
I'm sorry?
You meant two $100.
Yeah. Two people being made on $100. Right. Let's just keep it straight. I was just giving. In case someone asks, I was giving a more complicated case. Let's say one saw 100 and the other saw 200.
Right, right.
It would still be about 100.
The denominator is 100.
Right. But let's even keep it simple. Reuven saw a transaction of $100, and Shimon saw a transaction of $100. Yes. Right? So, of course, we're talking about a $100 transaction.
Bitcoin.
Now, in a way, Bitcoin, in a way, right, isn't that really what happens kind of in Umdana as well? From a certain point of view, let's say you pretty much, are not mistopping what happened. Pretty much. Let's just, by any reasonable standard, whether it's Rabacha's Gomel HaGomel Ben HaGemalim or Shimon Ben Shetach, on the Din Nefashos case, it's not like we're really scratching our heads wondering what happened here. We didn't see it, and we can't know 1,000%, let's assume. Right? I'll talk about cases where you do in a minute. No, 100%. But at the end of the day, don't we really know that Reuven killed Shimon? Do we really have any doubt about it? So let's translate that into Dini Mamonis. Right? Let's say Gomel ben Agmal. Doesn't Reuven really owe Shimon $100 because his aggressive... a Gomel was clearly stalking Shimon's gentlemanly, refined, docile, Gomel, right? So do we see the event? We didn't see the horrible, deed, right? But we know that Reuven really owes on Chiyuv HaGavra for different reasons. In other words, in Eidos Miuchedes, it's two Edim on Chovas HaGavra, even though only two Eid Echads on two separate, two distinct Maisim HaMechayiv. Here, there's no Edim on the Maisim HaMechayiv, but there are two Edim on the Chiyuv HaGavra. So what we're really saying is that that's what the Rambam is saying, v'chein, both in Sefer Mitzvos and in Perek Chaf of the Sanhedrin. I'm saying it's the same halacha, it's not two different dinim. In dinim mamonis, we care about the chiyuv. And in dinim nefashos, you know, it's a different requirement. You require edus on the ma'isa aveir. Oh. If that's the case, so then when you think about it, so why does the Rambam keep talking about how vaday it is, whatever? Oh. So I think that there is another... I have to finish up. Okay, so I think that there are another couple of twists here. And I'll give you the following example. Again, because of my gross negligence, you know, so you don't have the, you know, Tshuva Maimoni in front of you. But I do believe I sent it. So we could send it out as, you know, like a postscript, okay? So I sent two more Makoros. What?
Send it out along with this recording.
Yeah, great. If you didn't get it, just let me drop me a note, because I'm having all sorts of problems, so I sent it, you know, after forwarding it from another computer to myself. So, in the first tshuva, Tshuvas Maimonios in Sefer Ishus, it's a tshuva really of the Maram Rutenberg, that's the easiest place to find it. I made a photocopy for myself from last week, but I was able to print out the thing, which we'll eventually get. A whole different tshuva in the beginning, but what ends up being the discussion is what happens in Kiddushin, right? Where pretty much, again, what's the story of Eidus Olam Dinan Kiddushin? So we almost 100% know what happened. Does that work or not? So I sent out a two Makoros. There's a lot of Makoros on this. There's a Makoros on this on the Znus side of it. If a woman is Mizana, what do you have to see? Do you actually have to see the act of Znus? Or a very compromising, you know, situation is enough.
You need 80
kiyum. Hein eni yichud, hein. But you need 80 kiyum. Right. So there are two, that's what I'm saying, that's interesting. There are two sides to this case. One is on the Znus side, right? The Sugya and Makos. You have to see Kederach HaMenafim. But you don't necessarily have to see Kimakho Bishvoferes. I have to look at the post, at the Rambam, the Diukim in the Rambam. There's a whole discussion in the Minchas Chinuch about this, and then in Shulchan Aruch. You know, Bepashtus, with some exceptions, both in the Rambam and in the Poskim and so on. But mostly we think that what we need to see in order to convict is Kederach HaMenafim. And on the positive side, Kiddush Shebia, we can have the same thing, Lona Ima Bepundiki, in the case of, to slide back into marriage in the case of a Gerushin, get Yishan and all that. Right? Hein Ein Eni Yichud, Hein Hein Eni Bia. Right? So the question of, that the Rishon bothered already the Rishon from Rutenberg and others was, what happened to the din of Yediyah B'lo Re'iyah of Eidus Umdin, of being ineffective? Isn't that what Hein Eni Yichud, Hein Eni Bia is? There's a very famous tshuva of the Rajba, which gets discussed a lot in Shulchan Aruch. I picked up on it, right? And that is, you know, this woman and this man. So they're, you know, they walked into this room, and you know, the Edom are outside, and they hear the conversation, and he's saying, "Ach, look at my beautiful esrog, you know, I bought it on Main Street or in Turnpike, whatever it is." And she says, "Ah." You know, it probably starts kvelling in Yiddish, but what a nice esrog it is. I'm dramatizing maybe just a little bit. And then he's mekadesher with this esrog, and she's so excited. And then they walk out of the room, and she's holding the, and she says, I'd love to be your wife with the esrog. And then she walks out holding the esrog. I don't know whether she's holding the other minim or not, or what day it is of Sukkot. So the Raja writes in a tshuva. He said, there's no Eni Kiyum here. Because it's Eidus Umdina. So there's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch, do we paskin like that Tshuva Sarajba or not? And what happened was, a very interesting thing that happened along the way, and that is that some of the poskim in Eben Hezer, Simon Ben Beis, kind of mixed up that Tshuva the Rajba with this Tshuva of Simon Aleph of the Maram Rutenberg. So we're not sure. The Rajba, the the Ravya, the Riva, the names got all mixed up, so they weren't always talking about the right things even when they were talking about it. But what I'm trying to show is there's a massive discussion, wrote both on the Znus side and on the Ishus, Kiyum Ishus side, what works and what doesn't work. Oh. So the Imran Rutenberg, first of all, do we pass him like that Raj? But again, we, you know, no one was there, no one saw, but the Edim were machino, they heard the proposal, and then they saw her walking out with the Asrog. You know, don't, you know, to cross the dots and figure out what happened, you know, doesn't take great ingenuity. Yet the Raz was very strong that there's no Kiddusha. That seems to be the Psak and Shulchan Aruch. So they're all asking, all these, you know, the Nosikanim Shulchan Aruch, the Minchas Chinuch, the earlier, the Chus Maimonios, what's the difference between that Heinede and Heinede Yichon, Heinede Biya? So I think that the answer may be, there may be three perspectives, and this is what I just want to leave you with. One is that maybe the numbers are different. Right? I mean, even the Rambam is open to the idea that if you had a 100%, you couldn't explain the Gemara and Shavuos itself, you know, Bein Einayim and all that. If there's no other explanation, that might be enough. Very, very rare cases where there's no explanation. But okay, what is the threshold, basically? So there are some, if you look at the Chumash Maimonios here, one perspective is it's a very high percentage umdana. After all, it's based on people's passions and human nature. Oh, that's one perspective. And then one perspective, then in the Age of Sundaras, to figure out what that threshold really is. And obviously the Rambam was partly discussing that in his point about, you know, you keep moving the line, you know, a little further away, you know, from being, you know, totally compelling to just a little less of this, and then you find yourself at a certain point relying too much on the umdana. That's one perspective. The second perspective, which I think Shuvah the Maram Rutenberg definitely brings out, seems to be the difference between a predictive and a retrospective umdana. Now, it's one thing for me to figure out what's going to happen, what to connect the dots after the fact. As we see the whole picture, typically circumstantial evidence refers to circumstances where, you know, once you have the whole picture and you're reconstructing, you know, forensically, otherwise, like what happened here, right? You come up with a very compelling scenario. There might be difference between that and a situation where the forces are predictive or prospective. So, for example, in the Esrog case, you know, they walk into a room, he has an Esrog, there's no mukzako, no umdana that he's going to propose to her, and he's going to propose to her with the Esrog, or that she's going to agree to it. Right? In retrospect, when they walk out of the room, you know, and then the woman, she's holding the Esrog, you know, and you know, their demeanor and everything else, or maybe he hears her saying, you know, being maskim, whatever it is. But there's nothing prospective about that. But heinene yichud, heinene bia, that is a different matter. And one calls it like ne'oim here. Tadafka bi'i b'bia, I'm reading heinene yichud, heinene bia, b'shem dikin l'meimer eish bin ne'ores, v'eina mahav heves. Or it's Karav Levada. He gives different answers. So either it's in the numbers, this idea, or it's the fact that it's predictive. Now the predictiveness of it doesn't change the numbers. But what it does is it creates a different, the anticipation maybe changes how we look at this as Eidos. I'll explain it in just a second. The third thing that he mentions is that sometimes you don't have a choice. There are certain events or experiences, which by definition, right, are contingent upon umdanas, either in their nature or according to the halacha's perspective on them. Right? In other words, in a tsanua society, you're going to require the factor of kedera kamenoafim or heinadi yichud heinadi biya. Okay. So what I'd like to suggest is as follows. This idea, if you talk about the numbers, fine. A more compelling, a less compelling, that's kind of what the Rambam was dealing with in the beginning. That totally makes sense. Right? There are umdanas that are closer to fact, to being vada. What difference does it make whether or not you don't have a choice and you have to rely on it? So what? I mean, what does that have to do with a more or less effective and therefore legal eidos al yedei umdana? Number one. And what does the predictive or the human nature predictive element or other predictive elements, what does that have to do with anything if it doesn't change the level of probability? I think the answer is as follows, and that is that when we say we need yediyah, v'hura o yada, right, and therefore yediyah below ri'iyah doesn't work, there are two ways we can explain that. One is that it's really, edus is about yediyah, right, and then the question is, you know, where to draw the line, and lo plug is part of that story, right, and then the numbers matter tremendously. The other possibility, getting back to our explanation of the Rambam, is that in Dinei Nefashos in particular, and possibly in Ishos Freidi Kiyum, right, you have to have Eidus Al Hamaisa. And that requires, typically, Eidus Re'iyah. So even if we were, and I'm going to qualify this in just a second, just give me 5 more minutes since it's the last year, even if we were satisfied on the Yediyah level that this is what happened, you still need Yedi Kiyum, or indeed in Nefashos, you need Eidim Alamaisa. However, there are certain types of umdanas, this is my suggestion, that take a Yediyah and turn it into Re'iyah. And that's where the two factors that the Ram Rutenberg underscores come into play. If the only way legally, halachically, to see Kiddushei Biya or Znus is Al Yedei Umdana, then Al Pi Din, that's called Re'iyas Znus and Re'iyas Biya. And the same is true in the other direction as well. If you have a predictive, right, or a prospective Umdana, so you can already you can envision and anticipate that this is what's going to happen, that might turn the idea that you have as a way of expanding what constitutes re'iyah or tchilas hamaisa, and therefore re'iyah's tchilas hamaisa. In other words, if for the tznius reasons and the anticipation reasons we say hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia, so maybe what happens is it's not that you saw the Yichud, so there must have been a Biyah. Well, that's for sure true. But there's no Re'iyah, there's no Eidi Re'iyah on the Maisa. But maybe what really happens is the Yichud Al-Pidin becomes Tchilas HaMaisa. Both because Yefshar B'Lavachi, that was the first perspective, or that's what the prospective umdana, in many cases, and maybe there are a few other things that give you that, gets you as well. Because it's not just a reconstruction, what you see that anticipates becomes the tchilas maisa, and for that you have re'iyah. So you have edus re'iyah. And maybe what the Rambam is really telling us, then, is not so much that if you had yediyah, maybe saying if you have yediyah gemura, it's one thing. But maybe what the Rambam is saying is that because a yediyah, what the Rambam is saying is, you might have thought that a yediyah practically mukhletes would be enough. Because there's no real latest asafek that it didn't happen this way. As a reconstruction, as a yediyah, it's good enough. But unless you have a, if you have a yediyah badayis, then that's the equivalent of a ri'iyah. Anything less than yediyah badayis, you don't have ri'iyah. When you don't have ri'iyah, you get even a strong yediyah gets you into a low plug situation. So in the end of the day, certain pu'ulos require ri'iyah, edus on the baisa. And maybe that's what the Ram really has in mind. So the other makar that I wanted to bring up was the famous ksot, the ksos in Simin Atzadi, I think Sikh Katan Zion, discusses what is the status of edus umdana in general for edekiyum, and whether or not the famous debate in the Rishonim, whether Ede Chasima Karsi is enough to serve as Ede Kiyum on a get or on Kiddushin, is related to that question. In other words, what happens if you have, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Ede Chasima Karsi, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he holds that Ede Masira also includes Ede Chasima? So then you have a shtar, right, that was signed possibly in advance of the Maisa, let's say the get or the Kiddushe shtar, as the case may be. Let's say the husband hands the shtar, which are Edim Chasumim. The Edim Chasumim, you know, they signed in good faith, they did their job, and then they went off to Medina Sayyam, you know. They weren't there at the time of the Kiddushe, or at the time of the Kiddushe. They don't need to be there. So some of the Rishonim of the opinion that b'diavad, even if there were no other edim, those edi chasima can serve the function of edi ki. Says the Ksos, is that a case of edus umdana in ishas? Because since now the isha is holding on to the shtar, whether it's a get or a shtar kiddushin, the likelihood, how did she get it? He obviously gave it to her. So Anan Sadi, the Ran in Hamagarish, in the end of Gittin, says, Anan Sadi, obviously, likely scenario, you know, connecting the dots, is that she got a Kedasu Kedin. So it's like he has a line which he says, it's like the Eide Chasima or Eide Masira. It's like they're being made on the Re'iyah. So number one, that may just be a special din in Eide Chasima, in Eidus, Eidus Beksav, Eidus Beshtar, as Reb Chaim understood it. But the other question is, this is a din in Umdana, in Yediyah? Or this idea is that it's so clear that this is what happened, or the Edim Shebishtar are made, that constitutes a Re'iyah. In other words, not that we allow Yediyah for certain things. We allow Yediyah when Yediyah, right, can be viewed expansively itself as Tchilas HaRe'iyah.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so just to, you know, this is obviously a much, much bigger topic, but it really highlights, again, you know, as we said before, the idea of how much reliance we put on the human institution of Eidus, which in other cultures is very suspect, and in the halacha is practically like emes. And in the sugya of Yediyah below Re'iyah, what we're seeing is, again, this dialectic. On the one hand, the tremendous investment in the stature of Eidus raises the bar very high, you know, for what constitutes Eidus. And at the same time, the last points that we were making, you know, a Yediyah can perhaps expand to a Re'iyah because it's a legal concept. And for the same reason, once you pass that bar, namely, you do achieve the stature of Yediyah, of fact, in Eidus, we even allow that to have a transformative, you know, application, you know, so that Ke'ilu, the Eidim themselves, or our interpretation of their Eidus, makes us, you know, front row spectators, makes us Roim of the Maisa itself. Wish you all a good summer.